Good evening, welcome to our Wednesday service, 20 May 2020. As we continue through the Gospel of John, thank you for joining us this evening. And what a blessing this journey has been here in John. Last week we saw Jesus make that amazing statement that if he shall do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. That obedience comes first and then comes the knowledge of God's word. But the Pharisees have increased their attacks on the Savior, and that brings us to tonight's passage where Jesus begins to rebuke them for their wrong teachings and their wrong beliefs. So we'll start tonight in verse 19 of John chapter 7, if you would like to turn there. Jesus said, "Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me?" The people answered and said, "Thou hast a devil, and who goeth about to kill thee?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but righteous judgment. But judge righteous judgment." Then said one of them of Jerusalem, "Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But no, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know that this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is." Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, "You both know me, and you know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me." Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him, and said, "When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done?" The Pharisees heard that. The people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, "Yet a little while am I with you, and then I will go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come." Then said the Jews among themselves, "Whither will he go, that we should not find him? Will he go into the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, 'Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come'?" So we'll take our title tonight from verse 19, "None of you keepeth the law." Lord, I pray you'd give us your wisdom, use your word in our hearts and lives this evening. Thank you for the privilege to walk through John together and learn so much about you and your great truths about us. And I pray tonight that we would listen and heed the things that you say to us. May you be glorified. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Jesus here is making it very clear that even though the law was so important to the scribes and the Pharisees, Jesus is pointing out the fact that no one keeps the law, that no one can keep it completely. And that's what he said there in verse 19. None of you keepeth the law. Moses gave you the law, none of you keep it. And yet that is what you're using as your benchmark for people going to heaven or not. And we all know the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, in Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. and if you go to Galatians 3, God explains the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law was to not give us a means to earn heaven, but to point out that we can't earn heaven. That was its purpose. Notice Galatians 3, verse 24, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." Verse 25, "But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster." Once we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we're no longer under the law. But Jesus here is explaining through his word that the law was given to lead us to the understanding that we are wicked and can't keep the law, and we need help. We need a Savior. We need supernatural help from our Creator. So it was a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ, as we see. And yet, They wanted to kill Jesus for healing someone on the Sabbath day. Notice verse 19, "Why go ye about to kill me?" It is amazing how some people can react to the truth. You know, the Bible says a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Here these people are responding to the truth with anger. And this isn't the only time. We see this all through the scriptures. We saw in Peter, in Peter's ministry, Acts chapter 5, verse 33, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Stephen, Acts 7:54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth, and then they went on to stone Stephen. So for people to get angry at the truth is nothing new. And it will continue to happen. The Bible says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you, 1 John 3:13. So it will happen. But here Jesus carries on in verse 22. He says, "Moses therefore gave you unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers, and ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man." So he's here showing that these traditions, if you want to call them that, it was a sign between God and Israel, was more important to the Jews than truth. And he's saying that this sign doesn't get you to heaven either. It was just a sign between God and his nation Israel. And yet if you go to Matthew 7, we'll see that man in Bible times and still today tries to substitute his ideas, his doctrines, for God's. Matthew 7, verse 13. Mark chapter 7, verse 13. Wrong book. Mark chapter 7, verse 13. "Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things do ye." So here he's saying that they made the word of God, the truth of God's word, of none effect. In other words, they negated the powerful truth of God's word through tradition. Well, that still happens in many, many religions today, where tradition takes precedence over the truth of God's word. And the Bible tells us that we must submit ourselves unto the righteousness of God. It says in Romans 10:3, "They being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." We must acknowledge we aren't righteous and God is, and stop trying to establish our own through works. We can't do it. But the Pharisees didn't get that. So back to our passage here in John chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus says, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Well, no one can judge righteous judgment except Jesus. Unless we're judging based on the written word of God, then we can obviously weigh things against that from a doctrinal point of view, even behavior, but it must be based on the word. But God knows the hearts. We don't. You know, 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart." There will be a judgment. We will be judged, and that judgment will be righteous, and God wants us to only judge righteous judgment. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment, in Hebrews 9:27. So we will be judged. And God, Jesus says, be careful. He's saying to the scribes and the Pharisees, stop judging all these people based on all of your traditions. It's making you blind leaders of the blind, essentially. So let's move on. Verse 29, "But I know him, for I am from him." This is really the heart of the reason, other than the fact that he called them to repent. The heart of the reason why they hated Jesus wasn't only because he pointed out their sinfulness, but also because he claimed to be the Lord Jehovah, and they saw that as blasphemy. They were refused to accept the truth that Jehovah became a man through the incarnation. But Jesus made this very clear all through the scriptures that he's from God. He said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." We're told in 1 Timothy 3:16, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." So Jesus Christ is the incarnation of our Almighty God as a man. And it says, thankfully, in verse 31, many of the people believed on him. So they saw the miracles which Christ did. They heard his amazing words, his great doctrines, always perfectly given. And it says many, because of that, believed on him. And that's a blessing, because the Bible says, Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus said, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life, in John 6:47. And in John 8:46, he says, which of you convinceth me of sin? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? In other words, you can't convince me that I've done anything wrong because I'm sinless. And yet you still won't believe. So Jesus then explains, he says in verse 33, then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. He's saying, there's a short time left, and then I will go back to the Father. Now Jesus knew what this meant. He was going to die at Calvary, he was going to rise again, and he was going to ascend to heaven. They didn't know what that meant. But if they would have understood who sent him, then they would have understood what he meant. But they weren't willing to acknowledge that Jesus came from God and that he was going to return to God. He told the disciples, if you go to John 14, he told them the same thing. There in the upper room, in that Last Supper together, he says there in John chapter 14, verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In other words, I'm going to go. I am going to return, but I am going to go back to the Father, back to heaven. And then in John 16, in verse 7, he says it again. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So Jesus also explained that the third part of the Trinity, the Holy Ghost, would come and indwell men permanently once Christ ascended back to heaven. And that's exactly how it worked. Christ went to heaven there in Acts chapter 1. And then Acts chapter 2, we have the day of Pentecost, which began the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit in God's people when they trust Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ here makes it very clear to the disciples, none of you keepeth the law. Now, when we get to the book of Romans, God makes it very clear that we've all sinned, that we've all failed God, that the law was not given for us to earn heaven, but to show us, as we saw in Galatians 3, and we see in Romans as well, it was given to show us that we are sinners and that we need help. But Jesus here is calling out the Pharisees and the scribes and saying, stop trying to earn heaven. Stop trying to earn God's favor through your behavior. You can't do it. And this is a message the whole world needs to hear. How many people flock to these cults? How many people flock to some of the larger religions which teach them that the church will get them to heaven, or if they'll follow a certain list of rules or a certain list of guidelines, they'll get to heaven? The Bible doesn't ever say that. We are only saved by grace, Ephesians 2:8 and 9, and not of yourselves. And it's the gift of God, not of works. You cannot earn salvation, which is exactly what the Pharisees and scribes were trying to do and teaching the people that they needed to do, was to try to earn heaven through keeping the law. Now, just that one statement essentially undermined that entire false system. When he looked at the leaders of the day, the religious leaders, Jewish religious leaders, and said, none of you keepeth the law. Think about that. None of you've measured up. And as the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every man falls short. And there's only one solution to that problem. That's God and his salvation. And you think about it tonight. If man could earn heaven through the law or through anything, through the church, through baptism, through good works, whatever, why did Jesus die on the cross? What was the point? If we could earn heaven by being a good person, why did Jesus need to die? And you know, the world doesn't have a way of answering that question. Jesus had to die because we can't earn heaven. Because heaven is only available to those who are perfectly righteous. And none of us are righteous. The Bible says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in Isaiah chapter 64. So what does that mean? It means we can only receive righteousness that must be gifted to us, which we studied in Sunday school under the doctrine of imputation and justification. God gives us his righteousness when we trust Jesus Christ. But that's a supernatural thing that takes place when we're born again. And yet, how many people in this world today who are religious, if you want to call them that. They go to church, or they're seeking God, or whatever. They're trying to earn heaven. You can't do it. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life. You cannot earn a gift. It must be given to you, and you must receive it, which is what happens when we trust Christ as our Savior. None of you keepeth the law, Jesus here, and we're going to see more of this now as things heat up in the ministry of Jesus Christ, as the Pharisees and the scribes resist and resist and resist. We're going to see Jesus push back with the truth. And here he begins this rebuking of the religious leaders by saying, none of you keepeth the law. He says, I am God, essentially, and I'm going to go back to heaven. And think about what he's saying. None of you can follow me. If you don't trust Jesus Christ, if you don't accept his righteousness and submit yourself unto his righteousness, you cannot follow Christ to heaven. It's impossible with the law. None of you keepeth the law, and that is still true today. How many people are trying to get to heaven by doing things? Don't. If you aren't sure you're going to heaven, you need to be born again. That's the only way you're ever going to see Christ and be able to follow him to heaven. If you're trying to earn it through a church, through a creed, through a baptism, through good works, you'll not make it. You already failed. The Bible says that you're already condemned. And let's look at that, and we'll close this evening in John chapter 3. In verse 18, the Bible says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. We must believe on Jesus Christ, and the condemnation will be lifted. But look at the second part of the verse. But he that believeth not is condemned already. If you haven't placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you're already condemned. I often tell the kids in our Bible clubs, you know, or ask them the question, what do you have to do to go to hell? And they've learned the answer, nothing. You're already going there. You're already condemned. You must trust the Savior who saves. Who saves us from the consequences of sin, which is to go to hell, and removes the condemnation of us breaking God's laws. So none of you keepeth the law. Jesus says that all judgment must be righteous judgment, which we only have the capacity through his word and Holy Spirit, and we will face a righteous judgment with Jesus Christ. It makes it very clear that he is true and he comes straight from God, and that the people that believe on him will receive his righteousness, and that one day he will return to heaven. This is in Bible time. And that they can't follow him if their intent is to try to follow him by keeping the law. It will not help. It will not get you there. Next week, we'll look at this beautiful statement in, wrong chapter. In chapter 7, where he's going to stand and say, if any man thirst, there in verse 37, let him come unto me and drink. We're all thirsty. If we're not saved, we need to take a drink at his everlasting well. And we'll talk more about that next week. So none of you keep the law. Thank you for joining us this evening. We'll see you Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. God bless you.